Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor John Schmidt. We are at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Come join us for worship. We gather every Sunday morning at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship every Sunday night, or Wednesday night, excuse me, every Wednesday night year-round at 6:30. All of our services are broadcast live on KNNA LP 95.7 right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're looking at the readings for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. We spent some very, very good and productive time looking at our introit from Psalm 86. And now we want to turn our attention to the gospel reading, Matthew 6, 24 to 34. And when you hear Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know Jesus is the one talking. This is one of his great discourses in Matthew, commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor, you want to share those words with us?
Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble."
Okay, some pretty famous words here from Matthew 6, words that are known not only inside the church, but good, practical, common sense knowledge from the great teacher Jesus that people even outside of Christianity know and quote and look to. No, that was not the Jolly Green Giant walking into the studio. Every once in a while, we bump the mic with a book. So pardon us for that. We are not professionals here. We're just doing our best.
Just me and my library.
Yeah, Pastor Schmidt usually brings most of his library along with him, and I greatly appreciate that. Pastor, Jesus sets the stage right here, and he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. There are a lot of variations on that theme in Scripture. United we stand, divided we fall. Different ways that same basic truth is presented. But he gets very specific here. And the ESV that you read said, you cannot serve God and money. Now, as a young'un growing up back home, memorizing my Bible passages from the old King James Version, the word is not translated money in the King James, nor is it in several other translations either. And we know that literally in the Greek, that word is not money. It's not a completely bad translation, but it's not really specific enough. Pastor, do you want to give us some ideas and some thoughts about the Greek word that is translated money in ESV?
Now, this is in some translations just simply put right into English as mammon. It is a reference to material wealth, but it is especially indicative of the sort of material wealth that people trust in. That's the key thing, that it is... I see these ads on TV for buy gold, and this guy sits there and talks about how he buys gold from this particular company, and it's something he can feel and touch, and just I see this then Scrooge McDuck, you know, counting his coins.
Or rolling in them in the bed, you know. That's the only way he can sleep. So the word is mammon, and many of the English translations say mammon, and that would include money, but it's not only money.
Well, when you think about people in the first century, it was unusual for anybody to have more than one set of clothes. And it makes it's a big deal that somebody has a really nice outer garment. I forget all the names. Which is the kind of the common garment, and then the thing you may wear over it. But to have more than one of these is pretty special.
So mammon can be any material possession that would become a false idol, get in the way of the worship of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So money, our stock portfolio, our house, home, vacation home, rental property, the list goes on, our boat, our land, our animals, livestock, anything, any tangible thing. I have a very, very technical word, Pastor, that I like to use for this, and I just want to bounce this off of you and see what you think. My technical word for the things that can become false idols is our stuff. How are we doing? What do you think?
Well, that's fine, because I heard one guy explain it this way. He says, the more stuff you have, the more your stuff owns you.
And that's exactly right. Yeah. And to have the attitude when you get that first scratch on your $60,000 pickup, or when that fancy antique vase falls off the shelf and is broken, to have the attitude that it's just stuff is very, very rare, and it is very, very difficult, because we, like that gold commercial that you talked about before, we want to have our stuff in our hands. We want to be able to see, feel, touch, taste something that will be able to give us some kind of security. Isn't it amazing? God knows that about us. He knows that about us, and he wants to shift our allegiance. You cannot serve two masters. And so instead of serving mammon that we want to see, feel, hear, touch, taste, he gives us something else that we can see, hear, feel, touch, taste, and that's himself. Isn't that amazing? But we get ahead of ourselves here. We get ahead. That's the problem with Lutheranism. You just can't keep it secret. You want to get right to the punchline. So we've got a brilliant, brilliant teaching lesson, great lesson plan here that Jesus uses now to go into great detail about why we should not trust mammon, but rather we should trust him. And so first, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So here, in almost kind of a bracketed way, he tells us the things that so often we put our trust in. Things that you eat, or what you drink, or what you will wear, what you will put on. So food and drink and clothing. Pastor, why do you think Jesus singles out food and drink and clothing? Certainly there were other things that people were putting their trust in. Why would he look at some of these basic necessities of life and point to these rather than some gross examples of idolatry and false worship?
Well, these are something that everybody deals with. There's a wonderful section in Proverbs 30. It begins at verse 7. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. The poor man can be just as unfaithful as the rich man, because he's looking for his security in the material things of this world rather than in the material of the incarnation.
We may not live one meal to the next. We may not have one set of clothes or a very limited wardrobe. We may not wonder on a hot day about whether we can afford a glass of water or a cool drink of some kind. But most of us live paycheck to paycheck. And most of us fret and worry about, is this clothing appropriate for this season of the year, or will people laugh at me or mock me?
Labor Day is coming. Don't wear your white belt and shoes anymore.
Yes. Well, I kept my white belt and my white size 13 Triple E shoes that I wore to high school pretty much every day. Graduated 1976.
I'm your pup.
I kept them for a long time, and my wife finally, so embarrassed, gave them away. We have for 40 years now kept our wedding pictures hidden because all of the men wore mint green tuxedos and white shoes and white belts. It was a different era back then. But see, even that, being embarrassed and hiding those pictures of that clothing, gives testimony of how much we think, how much we're worried about what other people think about us. And Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter. He's not looking at some big, egregious kind of sin that we might fall into once or twice in our lifetime. He's looking at the sin of daily bread, the sin of living day to day, and how easy it is for us to put our trust in these staples that every one of us needs, rather than putting our trust in the one who gives us these staples, the one who gives us everything we need to support this body and life, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've got so much more to talk about in these words from Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the object lessons that Jesus gives us to teach us that we can trust in him. But most of our time, I want to spend on one word. I want to count how many times it is in our pericope here in our text, but the word that keeps coming back at us again and again and again, anxious. What are you anxious about? Maybe you take anxiety medicine. Maybe you have an anxiety problem. Jesus cares, and Jesus does something about it. We'll get into those topics when we come back from our break. This is Proclaiming the One. Don't change that dial.